Only a quarter of 1% of Americans live to be 100 years old. 0.27% of Americans are 100 or older at this point. And the crazy part, that's doubled over the last 20 years. So we're well on our way to living to be 100.
I mean, not as advanced as they're doing it, let's say, in Okinawa, where they're just eating vegetables and fish and living to be 110 and still looking like they're 70. But I mean, not bad for people that are eating red meat twice a week.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, they have the quote unquote secrets to live to be 100. Tell me if you're doing any of these things.
Okay.
Eat a healthy diet. Exercise regularly. Yeah. Manage stress. Keep your mind active. Don't smoke. And sleep.
Wow.
Hitting about 50-50 there.
All right. Let's go around.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a win.
That's
looking at this list.
If
you're hitting 50-50, you're either lying to yourself or you're that's winning. That's not bad.
Right. Well, so there's good nutrition. See, my biggest thing that I'm doing right now is the meal tracker. I downloaded the app like 2 weeks ago. I've lost 3 pounds.
But are you eating the right things?
I am eating the right things.
Okay, what's the number one thing you're eating to live to be 100?
Oh, Greek yogurt. It's the best. I'm substituting Greek yogurt into everything. The other day, I made myself a grilled chicken like taco burrito thing. And as my sauce, instead of sour cream, Greek yogurt tastes the same.
You're going to be 104 years old.
My wife is always trying to slip in Greek yogurt. And I know every time she's done it instead of something else. But I mean, it's. I applaud the fact that you're doing it. Good for you. If you've convinced your mind that it's the same, then you're there. You're there.
Sean, what's the number one thing you're doing to live to be 100?
You know, I would say it's managing my stress, but then I feel like I'm lying to myself because I'm stressing out thinking about managing my stress right now.
But what?
But I'm trying.
What's the specific thing that you do to manage your stress? Because there's something that I do lately that's
stupid.
You know,
I just started walking away from things that have become too stressful for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, there's chaos in my family, for example, with, like, you know, my brother and my nephews and, like, everyone together in one room is very hectic. So, like, this weekend, like, we should get together this coming weekend. And I was like, no.
Nah.
I'm not doing that.
Sean kept driving.
I was stressed out.
Sean managed his stress by making sure that he just drove right by his brother's house.
Yep. Physically walked out of the room. Right.
Yeah.
If you want to. Is my family in here? Let me go.
And then I just didn't come back.
If you want to live to 100, ostracize your family. That's step number one. Right.
What are you doing, Anna?
You're going to make fun of me, but, like, you know, the deep breathing thing?
Yeah.
So whenever everything seems like it's mounting up too fast and there's too many things and I'm, like, 100 different directions and I'm forgetting things, I do the...
I mean, I think that's pretty good. I mean, everybody tells you to meditate and whatnot. Like, I think that that's actually all right. As compared to me, I'm just taking a handful of vitamins every day and thinking that, like, magic sauce, they're going to make me live.
Yeah.
It's fake, by the way. It's fake.
But here's the big question I have for all of you. Do you want to live to 100? I was thinking about that, too, because it's like, at that point, a lot of the people you love are gone. You know, it can be very lonely. You can't probably, like, do the things you can do when you were 80. Like, I don't know. Cartwheels. I don't know. Can you still do cartwheels at 80? Maybe
not. Depends on the 80-year-old.
I guess.
I mean, I guess if you X yourself out earlier before that, you'll never find out that they figured out, oh, bing, we came up with the magic cure to bring everybody that you care about back.
Well, I mean, like,
you're all young again, and we brought them back.
It's less that. It's more like any answer I could give, I feel like the day I turn 99, I would feel different. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, no, I don't want to live to 100. Well, you know what? I bet a 99-year-old or 98 or 97-year-old feels different. It's just like, whoa, hold on. I don't want a stop date, though.
Bring this it on. Right.
Who would you rather see happier, your spouse or your dog? This is all over the news the last couple of days that Gen Z, now Gen Z is like 1996 to early to mid-2000s, they say that they get more joy from seeing their pet happy than their partner. And I was like, wow.
It is the time of the pampered pet. It certainly is, more than any time in history. And it's not just here, I think. It's a lot of places around the world.
I agree. Ironically, Raven, well, I should not say ironically, you're not a Gen Z person. You were not born between 1996 to early mid-2000s. But when I read this, I was like, this seems to possibly apply to Raven as well.
Yeah, I asked my wife who she thinks that I care more about the happiness of. So I have two dogs, Barkley and Baxter, and Barkley is my first dog, and he is my best friend, and Baxter is the one that, he's a mama's boy. He follows around mom. But I asked her what she thought, whether it was Barkley or her happiness that I cared about the most.
Barkley's. He gets whatever he wants when he wants it, as long as he whines enough.
That's totally different than you.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me no sometimes. Barkley doesn't even know that word.
Seems a little bit fake that I tell her no, to tell you the truth. But yeah. I mean, the dog brings me a lot of joy.
It's interesting.
He doesn't push back.
I mean, I love my dog. I love my dog very much, but I would not choose her happiness over my husband's.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, knowing your dog and your husband, I guess I kind of understand that.
I guess it's actually not true because my husband is not a fan of our dog, and he's made a lot of comments over the years, and I tell him all the time, like, actually, our dog is the only thing we fight about because I think he's not nice enough to her. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to both, right? So I kind of, you know, if I went over it in my brain, I would say, you know, with Barkley, he never tells me not to take a nap.
Okay.
I mean, he's down for all my favorite things. He does not judge me for eating too much.
Oh.
As long as I give him a piece of whatever it is that I'm eating.
Yes.
The ultimate date with the dog is basically a walk and a meal before we like Netflix and pass out or chill.
Yeah. And that seems a lot less expensive than a date out with your wife.
Yeah. And listen, if I don't make the dog happy, he whines for a while. He huffs loudly. He does that over and over and over again. And then eventually he passes out. You know, with Alicia, perfect date is like, you know, it requires deep conversation. She's going to want to talk about her feelings or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Dancing, which, you know, I'm too old for at this point. You know, my center of gravity has changed. You know, if I get too low to try to keep up with her, I might not be able to get back up.
Barclay's never asked you to dance.
Never asked me once to dance. She monitors nearly everything that I eat.
Right, Alicia, it does care about your health and overall well-being. Barkley just wants you to feed him. That's it.
A nap is never acceptable with my wife unless she falls asleep first.
Right.
And then if she wakes up, she wakes me up anyways. If I don't make her happy, she whines for a while, then she huffs loudly, and eventually she passes out.
So basically, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Except Barkley is less demanding.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I have to endure the same type of nonsense, though. So, I mean, I guess, you know, when you look at it like that.
Yeah. Accurate.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? Want to get it off your chest? Just call 1-800-330-9999 and fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Melanie.
So if you put your bag down on a train or a bus to try and save the seat, that's all I need to know about you.
Are we talking like you're trying to save some space next to you or like you've actually got somebody else that's going to join you on this bus?
No, you know when people do that just so that they get the row to themselves and no one else can sit down and then everyone else is stuck standing around?
Yes.
Seats taken.
Yeah.
Taken.
Yeah.
You know what? Listen, if there's empty seats on the bus, I'm okay with you keeping your personal space, right? If there's not empty seats on the bus, then yeah, that's totally uncool.
There's only one time that it's worse. And that's when you are on vacation and you're at a resort and you have these people, this legion of people that will get up at 4:30 in the morning to go put their beach towels out on the chairs. and you never see those people because they'll claim that chair for 7 hours and they have no plan to go there until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And meanwhile, you're just with your kids staring around and like, now where are we going to sit?
Mm, that's why you got to pay for butler service.
Oh, sorry, Raven.
But also, if you're the weirdo who gets on the bus or the tram and sits right next to the person when there's other empty seats, that's exactly why I brought a bag in the first place.
Well, that's true, too. It happened to me recently, actually.
That's weird.
Yeah. Allie, that's all I need to know about you.
If we're having a conversation and you have your head down buried in your phone, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah. I hate that. Can't stand that. Very disrespectful when that's going on. Unless I know you really, really, really well and we're pressed for time. That's the only time that it's cool.
I feel like, you know who gets the brunt of this and it's terrible to even say it? Like, I would never be so rude to do that in front of people I don't know well or in a professional environment. It's my kids and my husband.
Of course.
Because, you know, you're comfortable around them and you just want to grab one last text or you want to reply really quickly to this email or whatever. And it's not fair to them.
Oh, you're leaving me over this? This is the thing that you're leaving me over? No, I didn't think so, which means I'm going to do it again right now.
I mean, what is the conversation happening at your house, Raven? Andrea, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you shave your face and you don't clean the whiskers out of the sink, that's all I need to know about you.
Do you guys not see this, Raven? I wonder this all the time.
I shave actually now in the shower, so it's not an issue for me. I always was the person who rinsed out the sink. Always. Mm-hmm. It drives me nuts when I see that stuff there. But I mean, sometimes you're in a hurry. Sometimes you're half asleep when you're shaving in the morning. Don't act like you haven't ever gotten into your shower and seen some of the stubble from your legs in there.
No,
still hanging around. It happens.
No, I take out the thing, and I have this thing where I don't like hair on your head is beautiful, but the minute it's not on your head, if it's in your food, if it's on the shower wall, if it's in the sink, that's when it becomes disgusting.
Well, I mean, I agree. Mm-hmm. I don't want it in my food. The sink, not as terrifying to me.
Research says that most arguments with family members and friends happen over the weekend, and they say it's because mismatched expectations about how to spend your leisure time.
Yeah.
I think it's just spending too much time together.
Yeah, there's that. Of course, yeah, everybody has an idea in their head, though. Like, you know, when Friday comes, what do I want to do to feel good? Or Saturday comes, too. And sometimes I do feel like my wife has filled up the entire weekend on me, and, you know, I resent that.
Yeah.
From moment one, now we're ripe for a problem.
And that always leads to dumb arguments. The dumbest arguments that you can have that when you look back on them, you realize they're dumb, but when they're in the heat of the moment, you don't really do that. Here's an argument that my husband and I had last night, and I should preface this by saying that my four-year-old, we can't get her to sleep in her own bed. So she sleeps with us every night, and it's just as terrible as you think, because she is a big girl, and our bed is not very big.
Yeah.
I don't think it's normal for a baby to snore like this.
Why? You snore? Where do you think she gets it from?
Shh.
Now you woke the baby up. Way to go, Anna.
She snores like a man. Do you think that we should bring her to a doctor? There might, maybe there's something wrong.
Stop being a hypochondriac.
Am I right or am I right?
She sounds a little bit like a dinosaur or something in the bed. Like, wow.
I'm like, babies shouldn't snore like that. Like, yeah. She's four, but like, I don't think that that's normal. She's not sick.
It's like there's a demon inside her.
I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. And he thinks I'm being a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, imagine if she was in her own room, you guys wouldn't even hear this.
It's true.
Right. So then you wouldn't be worried about it. So on that end, maybe he's right. Maybe you are being a little bit more paranoid than you need to be. Wow.
I told you.
Yeah. And there's aggression in there, too. I can hear it. Yeah.
Tell me again why you were so upset that I wanted to wear my comfortable pants for Easter.
Oh, my God. Did you see yourself? No, you were wearing pajamas, and we were having company for Easter.
These are fancy sweatpants. These are not pajamas.
They are gray sweatpants. They are not fancy. They are sweatpants.
They have.
And you had, listen, I'm all about rescue shelters, but you were wearing a rescue shelter bright red T-shirt with sweatpants.
Very comfortable, very festive.
Not for Easter, and you had your serial killer hair going on.
Yeah. So here's the thing, man. I mean, like, we're not all that religious in my family or whatever, so it's not like we spend the day going to church or whatever for Easter in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone out the night before to an event, and, you know, we were a little bit lazy yesterday, and I just wanted to be lazy and comfortable. I would say that if sweatpants have, like, form-fitting ankles and zippers, basically, they're fancy sweatpants, all right? They're not the baggy, you know, ridiculous ones.
I'm going to say that you win for having the dumbest argument of the weekend because, I mean, I'm the opposite of you. Easter is the holiest holiday for me.
I know it is.
So the fact that you wanted to wear sweatpants on Easter when you had people coming to your house, that seems like she wins. She wins not only the argument, but you win for having the dumbest argument that you believed you had a leg to stand on.
I mean, I don't think it's necessary for me to put on a pink or yellow type button-up shirt for Easter.
Like my husband did.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Nonsense. Listen to this.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Up first, Super Mario Brothers is trending. And here's a trailer from the movie.
We will destroy the Mushroom Kingdom!
Bowser is coming.
I'm not afraid. I'll do anything for my brother.
We're going to save him.
Critics said it was going to be awful. Had the biggest global box office opening of all time for an animated movie. $377 million worldwide ticket sales.
I mean, it's amazing to me, honestly, to tell you the truth. When I heard this, like, I don't want to be cynical, but hey, seriously, what are we doing here, man? I mean, it's a movie about a video game. It made that much. I mean, I feel like there's other options out there, but I guess if you've got small kids, I don't know what else is in theaters right now.
Yeah, well, no, there's a lot of things in theaters, but I think what you're missing here, and it's what the critics miss too, is that it defined a generation. So you grew up with Super Mario Brothers, and then there's a lot of parents that bring their kids, which maybe they don't play Super Mario Brothers, but it's still an animated movie, and it's exciting, and it has the brothers.
I mean, to me, it's just like I would wait for that to be on cable or Disney Plus. I gotta be honest.
No, I thought about bringing Dakota this weekend, and all my friends that brought their kids loved it. They said it's nostalgic for them, and the kids thought it was super fun. And they do that thing where, you know, it's kind of geared for kids, but the parents get the inside jokes, and it's funny.
Yeah.
And then Jack Black, who voices Bowser, he released a music video, and it's a ballad for Peaches where he confesses his love for her.
Princess Peach, at the end of the line, I'll make you mine.
It gets better.
Oh, Peaches, 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 Peaches,
Peaches, Peaches, Peaches, Peaches, Peaches,
Peaches, Peaches, Peaches, Peaches, Peaches,
Peaches, Peaches, biggest animated movie of all time, all right, opening weekend.
I guess congratulations, guys.
Also trending, Taylor Swift. Oh, super sad. I was shocked when I heard this.
Taylor Swift and boyfriend Joe Alwyn reportedly calling it quits after 6 years. According to reports, the pair split amicably and that it was not dramatic.
6 years they've been dating.
I mean, but they never gave us anything. It's not like they were out in front with the public PDA and they were, you know, giving us insight to the relationship. So why are you sad? Like, what do you, I mean, this is what has to happen so that she can date Tom Brady.
No.
All right. So let's just get this stuff out of the way. Mm-hmm. Reese Witherspoon auditioned. She didn't get, you know, the role. So now Taylor Swift is going to audition.
Taylor Swift is not going to date Tom Brady.
Okay.
You know, people are very sad for her. And she's on the Eras tour right now, which is sold out worldwide. And they've been looking for clues. But like, it's sad when, because I think she had to protect that relationship so closely and she guarded it so much, which is why they were never in the public eye, because of all the ridicule that she had with all the exes before and the writing of the songs, and people would say she was a serial dater. So the fact that, like, I thought she had found her happily ever after. Remember, there was legions of people, myself included, that believed they were secretly married. Like, that was a real thing that people believed, including me.
I would say roll it back. Taylor Swift dumped him. She's going on the road. It's summertime. Huge, massive tour. That's it. It's bye-bye.
I think she's sad. I think Taylor Swift is sad.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Mm. I think she's on stage tonight or tomorrow. She feels fantastic. Sorry, Joe. Come on, Tom.
Sad day. Taylor Swift and her boyfriend of 6 years, Joe Alwyn, have broken up.
Now, you are a grown woman.
I don't know.
What are you talking about? Sad day.
She,
I mean, you're a grown woman.
Look what all those terrible people did to her.
I mean, you have no idea what you're talking about. No. She could be a terrible person to date. She's a wonderful singer and very talented, but she could be a terrible person to be with.
Without a doubt, you haven't listened to all her albums on repeat like I have. But here's the thing.
So it's all his fault. That is what I'm saying. Okay.
No, I don't know. They're saying that it's very amicable, and I believe that.
Yeah.
And the reports are saying that Taylor Swift just said not her. The reports are that they're just friends at this point, and that's how they knew that they should no longer be in a romantic relationship, because sometimes, they reached the friends point.
Yeah, sometimes things just run their course. You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, this is boring at this point.
How did you know a relationship wasn't right? That's what I was thinking about. Producer John, Raven. You know, Raven, you were talking about a friend of yours, and I was giggling. I'm going to let you take it over.
Yeah. So I've got a friend right now that's on vacation. He's kind of become a world traveler, and he is in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is like, yeah. So look at you. The jokes.
Did I say anything?
Okay.
So, I didn't say anything.
And he also just got back from the Philippines. And, of course, the running joke is that he's going to come back married or this, that, whatever. You know, that's what he's there for, because it was a guy's trip. So this time he brought another friend with him. And the other friend was the person that everybody just figured was just going to be over there, you know, drunk in some, you know, Thailand bar or whatever. Turns out, if you get online, and here's the funny thing, because he's been blocking it from a lot of his friends seeing, the friend that just went as the tag along, he met a woman like the first day. They're there for a month. He's been in the village. He's been up to with her family, everything. And so my friends are like, this is doomed. Green card jokes, all these other things. And I'm like, you know what? What's so hard to figure out about the fact to believe that two people could be on the other side of the world in a place where they've shot The Bachelor and all these other shows, which is super romantic, that you can meet somebody that you can find interesting. You don't know them. They don't know your history.
Right.
Every conversation is a new adventure. When you go to the village, if you survive, you're happy. Why not?
A set of The Bachelor. That is where romance blossoms, Raven. Absolutely. So, I mean, just so much video evidence to show us this.
Here's the thing that I think that could ruin it is that obviously they live, you know, 16,000 miles away from each other. It's a 22-hour plane flight to get there.
Yeah.
So if she's not coming back with him right now, like, you know, how does that work?
Long distance relationships can be really tough.
That's tough.
How you know a relationship isn't right. That and they want a green card.
Yeah. I mean, I had a long distance relationship, but it was only a couple states away. But yeah, it is very difficult.
Right. Well, sometimes it's not about the distance, you know, how far apart you are. It's how far apart you want to be from the other person. Like me, for example, I was in college and I was having an argument, one of many, many arguments that I had with this particular girlfriend about she was jealous about this or that. And I just one day I was driving and we were arguing and I just pulled the car over next to like the woods and I just got out of the car and I just walked into the woods. I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't, there was no like, I'm going to go do walk this now. I just stopped the car and I just got out and I started walking into the woods. I'm telling you, for like a good, and she screamed, she's like, where are you going? We're talking right now. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to walk into the woods, man. And yeah, that was it.
That's how you knew. When you just pull over the car and start wandering into the woods, that's how you know the relationship isn't right. You're like, I'd rather deal with the bears and being attacked than having to actually deal with
you. I mean, had we been next to the ocean, I would have walked into the ocean.
I just kept swimming.
Going out on a limb here, and I'm guessing that at least half the things she was jealous and suspected about, you were actually doing.
Sometimes breakups are hard, but there's always like a telltale sign. Something will happen, and you know that relationship wasn't right. How did you know? 1-800-330-9999. Liam.
Oh, she was absolutely obsessed with her father.
Like how?
Like every time she referenced him, oh, he's so strong. He's so confident. He's so dependable. He always pays for things. And I'm like, yikes.
I mean, if you got the daddy issues, those can go both ways, right? If he was a terrible human being, that's not easy to deal with. But if he was the most incredible human being, and you know in your heart that you are not, get out of that, Liam, right?
Yeah. Right.
You're like, you know what? I'm looking for a relationship where I can be middle of the road. I'll paint within the lines most of the time, but I also want to have the ability to be forgiven at some point in my life. So this one isn't right for me.
And not pay for all your meals.
That's right.
So there's that.
Know thyself, as they say.
Cynthia, how did you know your relationship wasn't right?
Well, he was always talking about how I should go to the gym more, which was ridiculous because I'm pretty fit and healthy. I work out, but I guess it wasn't enough for him.
Or he was just trying to encourage the thing that you were already interested in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess, but you can see how that could be offensive and be taken the wrong way, right?
Absolutely.
I suppose, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after you say it once or twice and the other person doesn't respond with, what a great idea, then typically I just pick a different line of conversation. That's me anyway.
Right.
I don't ever want my husband to tell me to go to the gym. Ever, ever, ever.
Lauren, how'd you know your relationship wasn't going to work?
Okay, when he said that he did not want to binge watch Friends with me, I was like, what? How can I love you? How? I'm a Rachel, so I didn't know. I don't know how he could even love me, really.
I mean, I think everybody believes that they're Rachel. They are. They all believe it. I don't know. My wife's got shows that I can't stand that she puts on. She's just like, don't you think this is lovely? No, I'm not here for any season of Bridgerton. I'm not. I cannot do the old English.
No,
unless it's associated with a dragon and things.
You know what
I've
noticed, Lauren? I know that like Friends is back and a lot of people are watching it, but I've noticed that like the young teens, like my daughter is 14 and all her friends, none of them like it. And to me, I don't know if it's just this group, but like I feel like whenever I talk to girls in that age group, they don't like Friends. And it just seems so strange to me. Everybody likes The Office.
Yeah.
Nobody likes Friends. It's so weird.
It's not right. It's just not right.
Jackie, when did you know your relationship wasn't right?
He never wanted to introduce me to his female friends. And when he did, like the whole Facebook wall and everything, all the conversations between them were like, hey, babe, hey, hon, hey, sweetie, this is my fake baby daddy. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody implies that somebody is their baby daddy to be, yeah, that's
yeah,
that would be off-putting.
if they don't introduce you as your girlfriend and they keep all these other women in their life away from you, yeah, I mean, that's like a playa that's hiding you.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then when he brings you out, you could tell that there's a conversation that's been had before it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
You're in a relationship, everything is going fine, but then something happens and you think to yourself, nope, this just isn't right. What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Maggie.
Basically, when I found out that he was getting a ring for me.
Oh, so.
I know. So I've been with my boyfriend for probably a little over 2 years. And like things were good. We were reasonably happy and didn't really fight much.
Right up until you heard he was getting the ring.
Yeah, he called my sister to ask about like ring size and style. And she told me, and I just like had this feeling, and I realized I should have been excited or something.
Yeah.
And I just had this like, I got filled with dread and realized that I would say no if he proposed. And we broke things off pretty soon after because I just realized there wasn't a future there.
You know what? I mean, I applaud you for being concise. You know, I really do. It's hard to make those kind of decisions and tell people the truth in some of those moments like there.
Especially when it wasn't like anything bad had happened.
Right.
Like he hadn't done anything awful. It just.
Yeah. And your mom loves him. And this person's like, oh, great. We're going to get married. All that stuff. Yeah. I mean, everybody gets so excited around you. Good for you for just listening to yourself. Good
I
for
have
you.
A very Aww. Good friend of mine, and she is Carrie from Sex and the City. Like, mm-hmm. she is not meant to be married. She doesn't want to be married. She's been engaged twice. And both times, like, she told these guys, like, that, you know, she just didn't like, she didn't want to be married. Mm-hmm. She liked, you know, her freedom and all this stuff. And both these guys, like, proposed just head over heels in love with her. And after she said yes, like, she had to break off both engagements. But again, she's in a relationship and she's terrified that the guy's going to propose to her.
Yeah.
I was so the opposite. I could not wait to marry my husband. Like, I, you know, I was 24 years old giving him ultimatums like a crazy person. Like, what is wrong with me? Now I look back and I'm like, I don't understand what the rush was. It's not meant for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, even if things aren't wrong, sometimes you just don't want that.
Yeah. Mr. Right Now doesn't have to be Mr. Forever.
Right. Nate, how did you know your relationship just wasn't right?
After the second date, she wanted a drawer in my room. Like, we just started dating, and all of a sudden, she picked out a drawer and was going to commandeer it. I knew it. Something wasn't right.
You know where you screwed up, man, is you brought her by your apartment in the first two dates.
Right.
You should have just kept her away there for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now I know.
You'd be like, you got three empty drawers in here. You'd be like, yes. But that doesn't mean that there's room for somebody else's storage. No.
At what point do you offer somebody a drawer in your apartment?
Oh, it's a big step. That's when you're going to call each other boyfriend, girlfriend, I think.
So what is this? So is it five
that's like
months?
Official. That's
Six
not
months?
Even like, you know, you're just hooking up or sleeping together. That's like, you know, we're going public with we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
So what is it?
I think it depends relationship to relationship. You can fall in love quick if you're really, you know, taken with somebody, certainly. Doesn't mean that might not blow up on you 3 days later.
Still weird on the second date, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going too fast.
Maria, how did you know your relationship was over?
Well, we went to a Spanish supermarket, and I wanted the Indiana popcorn.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, hon, the popcorns here are like $6.99. We could just go to a Stop and Shop down the street, like literally three blocks, and they're 2 for $5. We just get two of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He said, what the hell? Are you going to pay for it? And I looked at him embarrassed in front of everybody. I said in my head, oh, I put my head down. I said, okay, this is time for me to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I got in my car, and I left him at the supermarket and never came back.
Good for you.
You know what? And next time, get yourself the popcorn as well.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
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 Here at the Anna and Raven Show, we take your complaints very, very seriously.
Mm.
So our boss reached out to me on Friday and said we had received a call with a complaint about me, and he had sent me the audio, and this is what it said.
Message received today at 1:09 p.m.
Well, I don't know if I got the right line, but I really have a complaint to make. I can't listen. All that Anna talks about is her children. I know she loves her children. She thinks they're adorable. The people, it is in poor taste to go talking about your children all the time.
I mean, I don't think I've ever actually
said...
It's in poor taste. I don't think I've actually said they're adorable.
Oh, no,
before.
You've said it.
They're adorable.
You've said it too many times for some people to stomach.
Well, I think she continues, Raven.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Could she please find some more interesting things to talk about? Mm-hmm. I don't know who her kids are. I have my own kids. My kids are really cute, too, but you just can't talk about your children all the time. And I really had to stop listening because she is a total bore.
Yeah.
I mean, Raven doesn't do that.
Nope.
Really. She's got to go.
I got to go.
Thank you. I'm glad to have her with me.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have her. What was her name?
I don't think she ever gave her name.
Well, I thank you for your support, yes. Ma'am, and your well-thought-out message.
Thank you. We appreciate it so much.
Ho-hum. And you know what? What is the guarantee that Anna's kids are adorable?
I mean,
they are relatively cute. But, you know, who could say that? Yeah. Right.
So, Raven, I decided...
She doesn't even like her kids.
She doesn't like her kids. She's got my own kids.
She's like, I got fine-looking kids. They're good-looking. But whatever.
Listen, Raven, we have to take this seriously.
Okay.
All right.
I am taking it seriously. I appreciate her support.
I mean, this is a family show that is about relationships with your family and your friends and your coworkers. But I decided there's other things that I can talk about besides my kids. I mean, there are other things we talk about. It's not all just about my children.
Wonderful.
I can talk about food.
Okay.
I love pizza. Yeah. Bread. Pasta. I could talk about that for hours. Nobody cares, you know, when I usually bring it up. But from now on, I'll talk about all the different kinds of doughs that I like.
Oh, that seems
Italian crusty bread.
I mean, I'm not sure that I'm here for that. And, you know, I'm pretty tolerable.
I could talk about places I want to travel to, but I can't afford, like Greece and the Galapagos Islands. And I've been dying to go on an African safari that nobody will pay for.
It's true. You have. You've been talking about that for a while.
How about beluga whales?
Yeah.
You know, I love beluga whales.
Yeah. No, you can't keep them, though, as pets.
I want to learn how to train them. I said if I ever get fired here, according to this woman, I should because I
your terrible. Days are numbered.
Right. That's next on my list is I'm going to go train the beluga whales. I have no frame of reference, but I figure marine biology, I can do that.
Anything else?
I like to interpret literature and poetry.
Oh, gosh.
I've always loved Dorothy Parker, and I used to be really good at interpreting Shakespeare. I could have an entire podcast about that. I just didn't think people would care. But if you are into that, just let me know because I could do entire segments every day about Dorothy Parker.
Anything else on this list?
The Office. I love like the show The Office.
The TV show.
Yeah, I could talk about that. And math is hard, and I could talk about how math is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like your bullet points? That's the most of what you got?
That's all I can really... I mean, I guess that's all I'm qualified to talk about.
Maybe fall back on the whales.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That might be the way to go.
Okay. Dogs come in all temperaments, and if you have a nervous, fearful, anxious dog like me, it's a little bit more difficult because you never know if they're actually sick or if they're just having a reaction to what's happening in the environment around them.
Well, I think, like you said, I mean, dogs have a lot of different temperaments. Even the most well-behaved or calm dog has moments of anxiety and stress.
Dr. Ashley Smith is a veterinarian from Bond Vet. You can find them online at bondvet.com. Ashley, how do you tell the difference? So here's what's happening is like we're in the process of moving right now. And my dog is an incredibly fearful, anxious dog. And I don't know if she's actually sick or if there's something wrong because she keeps having accidents all around the house. And it is not pretty.
Oh, Anna, that is such a common, I guess, presenting complaint that we see, especially, you know, you kind of gave me a trigger, right? You said that she is normally stressful and anxious and there's a recent history of a move. So things like that are really important for the veterinarian to hear to decipher between, is this a sickness or could it be more behavioral related? Because they're treated differently, right? So the only way to tell is through a veterinarian visit. If the veterinarian feels like it's leaning more towards behavioral than talking about, you know, what can we do to make her GI feel comfortable at this moment and keep her comfortable in terms of her nerves and anxiety versus we should probably rule out things like parasites or food sensitivity or anything like that that may be more medically related.
Doc, I see all the time, you know, listen, I've got an anxious little guy myself. And, you know, most of the time he just takes out his anger on somebody else. But sometimes he also has problems when he's going to the bathroom or whatever. And, you know, you can't always be there with the collection utensil, right? It's not always the way it's going to work. You don't know when that vet visit is going to be. So is a photo beneficial to the doctor before if you can't make it there immediately?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's a little bit odd behavior, right, for you guys to take pictures of their bowel movements.
Right.
But we appreciate bowel movements. We don't mind if there are, like, a bunch of leaves in it. But worst case, we have a way to get a fecal sample from them without a sample from you. So pictures are helpful because if you guys saw blood in it or mucus or anything like that, we don't necessarily always see it at the time during their physical. So all the, I guess, like, the evidence is good for the vet to have.
So if you have a fearful dog like me, like, what are some tips to handle their stress when they're going through big life events like we're going through, like a move or a new person moving in, a divorce, a death in the family, that kind of thing?
You know, I think specifically with your case, Anna, if it's a move, if you're able to kind of expose her to the new area, like if it's an empty house that you guys are moving into or a new build or anything like that, you know, exposing her to the new environment is good. The other thing that I recommend is make sure that your pet has a lot of the things that they are familiar with, like their bed, their water bowl, things that, you know, they put their scent on, their blanket, if they have toys, and giving them a safe space within the new house. If someone passes away, whether it's a person or maybe their other pet, like another dog or cat in the household, I really think animals go through a mourning process just like we do. So things that carry their scent and kind of letting them have it, putting in their bed, where they're laying is also really helpful just for them to have the smell. Mm.
Doctor, in those situations, just, you know, off subject here for a moment, do you recommend getting another dog right away? Because I know it is a mourning period, and sometimes we feel like, you know, we don't want to disrespect the pet that we had, but is it really essential for the other animal to, you know, have another sibling come in?
You know, I think it really is dog temperament. It depends. If your dog is, like, you know, friendly, wants to play, and highly active dog, that can help. But if that dog doesn't like any other dogs and only got along with the other housemate, it's probably not a good idea to introduce the pet because that can elevate them to another stress level as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Ashley Smith from Bond Vet. You can find them online at bondvet.com. Thank you so much.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Chris and Madison. Madison, what's going on?
So my husband Chris recently misplaced his wedding ring, and he's telling me that he doesn't want to get a new one or wear one because it's uncomfortable. And I'm like, no, we've been married 4 years. You need to, you know, show people that you're married, and you have to get a new one.
Chris, what's your side of this?
Well, what she fails to tell you is that I have put on some weight, and the ring is just too uncomfortable. And yeah, my fingers got a little chubby, and so now that I've lost it, I don't want to put it on again. It hurts. You know, my fingers are fat. Sorry.
So why can't you just buy a new ring that's bigger?
Right, for your fatter finger.
I don't think I need to. You know, like, I love my wife. She knows I love her. I'm not going anywhere. I just don't want to wear it. I don't feel comfortable having it on.
Some people don't like to wear jewelry. They don't like to wear rings. I understand that. You kind of get used to your wedding band. It becomes almost part of you, I would imagine. And in times of peril, sometimes it can even be the thing that I twitch or touch on my hand, almost like, you know, you fiddle with it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I kind of understand what he's saying.
My husband doesn't wear a wedding ring. He has, like, really bad eczema on his hands.
Yeah.
So he has, like, a reason not to do it. And it only bothers me when he's going out somewhere social without me. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like people look at him without the wedding ring and they immediately think, like, well, why isn't he wearing a wedding ring? What's going on? Is there something? You know, then people start deep diving you and stalking you on social media trying to see, like, is there trouble and whatever.
So you're talking about not just people that don't know you guys that thinking that he's single, but people that do know you guys, at least peripheral,
right,
that say, oh, maybe there's a problem there.
Yeah. Madison, why would it upset? I mean, like, why would it upset you for him not to wear his ring?
I mean, I think it's just like, it's like the standard. Like, we agreed to get married. We're married, you know, mm-hmm. and he lost it. I mean, I just think he's being silly. Like, we need to just get a new one and one that fits him. And yeah. And same thing as you. Like, I feel like when he goes out, people need to see that he's married, because if he's not wearing a ring, they're not going to know that. And
they,
you
just
know,
throw
that's,
themselves
that's
out.
That's not okay. That's not what we agreed to.
They're jumping from the rafters at this guy.
No, no, that's not happening. That is not happening.
I mean, so if you're not comfortable with the ring, how would you feel about wearing something else that would announce that you're married? Like, if Madison had themed T-shirts for you, or maybe a headband. You know, you could have a headband, or, you know, a brand like a bowl or something like that.
I would definitely consider the matching outfit, t-shirt thing. Yeah. Headband, no. My head is too big. It'll be look like I'm trying to cover up this bald spot. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody's hunting me down, you know, just because I'm not wearing a wedding ring. I mean, I have a dad bod, and I'm not even a dad, so...
Listen to me, man. If you are somebody that has a job that washes their hands frequently, or even nowadays, we're supposed to continue to wash them. You know, if we didn't learn anything over the last few years, like, I kind of get it. I mean, I kind of get it. I wouldn't see it as the end of the world, but I understand why she's a little bit trepidatious.
Well, that's what the audience has to say, because maybe they agree with you, Chris. Why do you have to wear a wedding ring? If you're married and you know you're married, then that should be the end of it. And who cares what other people think? But they may see Madison's side, too. It's a symbol of your marriage. And you should wear a wedding ring. And it makes her uncomfortable that you're not. So put one on.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
If your spouse decided they didn't want to wear a wedding ring anymore, would you be cool with that? Exactly what's going on with Chris and Madison. Chris actually lost his wedding ring. And the truth of the matter is that he never felt comfortable wearing it. He says that he gained some weight. It was really tight. He never felt good about it. He's not into jewelry. And he doesn't want to replace it. He says, people know we're married. Why do I have to wear a ring?
I mean, listen, if you feel like you've got faith in your relationship and you're not worried about the symbolic nature of it, that is all it is. It is simply a symbol. It is not the makeup of your relationship. On the other hand, it's important to your wife. So you have to consider that too, Chris.
Yeah, that's exactly what Madison says. She's like, no, we're married. You wear your wedding ring. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Nancy, whose side are you on?
I am on her side, because if he doesn't wear anything on his hand, it's an advertisement to the world that he is not married, he is available, and you just can't do that. I was thinking maybe if you just got a cheap plastic ring, and he has to have something on that hand, on that finger, you know?
A lifesaver, right? You know, a
the ring pop.
Yeah. A ring pop is not bad either, right? Yeah. No, I get it.
Right. Maybe if it came with a snack, he would be more into it.
That's true. It might be.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Chris and Madison are having a disagreement because Chris no longer wants to wear his wedding ring. Mm. He lost it, and he says, I don't want to replace it. I can't stand wearing jewelry. It never felt comfortable on my hand. Like, can I just not wear this anymore?
Listen, I understand. When you first put on something that you're not typically used to wearing or whatever, it feels like a shackle, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like a collar or something like that. It is uncomfortable. And some people just in general have a hard time wearing rings. I don't. You get used to it, right? I mean, when you first put it on, again, it feels foreign. Your skin feels irritated around it, even when it's moving around. And then sooner or later, your body just, you know, conforms to this thing. Doesn't bother me. Also wouldn't bother me to not wear one, though. I still know I'm married.
Yeah, my husband doesn't wear his wedding ring.
Yeah. I mean, you know he's married.
And he knows.
He's coming home.
Right, he figured it out.
Yeah, he knows where he lives, where he parks his car and all that stuff.
But it does bother Madison, and she wants him to wear a ring and says, like, you got to get it together and do it. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Janine, whose side are you on?
I'm on the side of get a tattoo and profess your love with a tattoo. It looks like a wedding ring.
So get a tattoo on your wedding ring finger, or just get a circle on your arm randomly.
So put it on the actual where the ring would go. I know someone that did this for his wife.
Yeah, Tommy Lee.
He didn't like to wear a ring, so he got a tattoo that looks like a ring on his finger.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one way to go about it. Now you don't have to wear it, and it's there forever.
Yeah,
no,
and I love Motley
asked.
Crue. So, yeah. Thanks for the call.
Brian, whose side are you on?
Hey, I'm on his side because I don't wear rings, but tell him to get a tattoo, and then you don't have to wear jewelry on his fat finger, and yet he's still got a marking on his finger.
Everybody wants them to get tattoos. Mark, what do you think?
I think that she's very controlling, and she's afraid because she has none of her kids, apparently. So she needs to give him kids.
What?
Solve the problem. Right. Lock that down. Make sure everybody knows it's secure by being like, he's had babies with me. We got babies, yo.
Is he going to wear the baby around his finger?
That's really what a marriage is. Mm. That's really what a marriage ends up to be.
Just babies.
So if you don't feel encumbered by kids, what the hell? Why not?
Right.
Just wear this baby right around my ring finger.
That means my marriage is fake. I don't have a baby. Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Madison, our audience agreed with you. Chris, you have to show something to show that you're married. It means a lot to her. And you took vows together, and it's important. So put on a ring, get a tattoo. A few people suggested that. Do what you got to do.
All right. You know, I will definitely make a conscious effort. And, you know, but I do use my hands a lot and it is uncomfortable. When we do go out, I will put it on. I will show the world that I love my wife and this is how I do it.
That's got to make you feel pretty good, Madison.
Yeah. Yay.
I love you too.
I love you. Put that ring on.
All right. Okay, get one later.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,600. All right. Angelica, you ready to play today?
I am.
I know we have a wedding to pay for, so I really want you to win. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Angelica.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
A smirk on his face as he walks out of here. All right.
I want to help pay for her wedding, but I'm not going to throw the
Get
game.
Out of here. Close the door. All right. He's not going to be able to hear us as soon as that studio door closes. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one. Lady Gaga posted on her Instagram that filming for the upcoming Joker sequel has officially wrapped. Who does Gaga play in the new Joker movie?
Harley Quinn.
Number two, the kids game Roblox is at the center of a giant ring of illegal money laundering. Sources claim that people are using the game to illegally transfer funds to one another. What is the name of the currency that you can purchase on the game to play?
Roblox.
Number three, the Super Mario Brothers movie had the biggest global box office opening of all time for an animated film with $377 million in worldwide ticket sales. Peaches was originally known as Princess what?
As Princess Peach.
Number four, Taylor Swift and her boyfriend of 6 years have broken up, according to multiple reports. What's his name?
I don't know.
And number five, Owen Wilson says the wig he wears in his new movie, Paint, is his favorite wig and better than the one he wore in Zoolander. Paint is about the star of the 1980s hit show, The Joy of Painting. Who is that?
Bob. I don't remember his last name.
All right, Angelica. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for our girl,
Not
Angelica.
Great. I'm sorry. I hope your husband still loves you.
Raven.
Well, I mean, I do, but
fiance, they're not married
all right,
yet.
Well, let's see how the game goes.
Number one, Lady Gaga posted on her Instagram that filming for the upcoming Joker sequel has officially wrapped. Who does Gaga play in the new Joker movie?
It's going to be Harley Quinn.
Yes. Number two, the kids game Roblox is at the center of a giant ring of illegal money laundering. Sources claim that people are using the game to illegally transfer funds to one another.
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
What is the name of the currency that you can purchase on the game to play?
It's Robux.
Robux, yes. Yeah. You guys are tied. Number three, Super Mario Brothers movie had the biggest global box office opening of all time for an animated film with $377 million worldwide ticket sales.
It's crazy to me.
Peaches was originally known as Princess what?
Princess Toadstool, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I didn't think you were going to know that one.
Come on, man.
That's an old school one.
I played Super Mario forever.
Mm-hmm. Number four, Taylor Swift and her boyfriend of 6 years have broken up, according to multiple reports. What's his name?
Joe Alwyn.
Yes. And number five, Owen Wilson says the wig he wears in his new movie, Paint, is his favorite wig and better than the one he wore in Zoolander.
Yeah.
Paint is about the star of the 1980s hit show, The Joy of Painting. Who is that?
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Angelica, I'm sorry. 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt, which you could wear at your wedding, but I'm not sure you want that.
No worries. This is Angelica, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl, and congratulations. $1,700 bucks tomorrow, Anna.